بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We begin the class on the points of benefit with respect to Hajj and also ruling on that. And tonight we continue the issues about the sacrificial animal and specifically the conditions for slaughtering. The first condition is that the one who slaughters must be legally qualified for slaughtering. Must be legally qualified for slaughtering. And this means that he must be sane. First, must be sane. So the first condition is that the one who slaughters must be legally qualified, and this A should be slain, sane, so that the purpose of slaughtering is met, because the insane has no purpose in that. B, that he must be a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian. He must be a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian. Any other than that is not, does not meet the condition, and his slaughtering is not acceptable and it's not permissible. His slaughter is not permissible. Now, concerning the evidence for the Jew and the Christian is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 5. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُهُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. Made lawful to you, this day are the at-tayyibat, all kinds of halal foods, which Allah has made lawful. The food of the people of the scripture is lawful to you, and yours is lawful to them. Qala ibn Abbas, Ibn Abbas explaining this as their food, meaning ذَبَائِحُهُمْ, their slaughtered animals. Their slaughtered animals. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate from the food or the meat offered to him by Jews, and including the woman, the Jewish woman. Who offered him a shah, a sheep, on the in the year of Khaybar, and he ate from it, and that sheep was poisoned. Now the ulama rahimahumullah differed as to whether it's a condition that his way of slaughtering is or should be the same as that of the Muslims. Is this a condition? Or whether what they, the people of the book, consider as slaughtering is a slaughtering, although it may differ from the way of the Muslims. The majority of the scholars are in the opinion that it's a must that the Kitabi, the person from the people of the book, if he slaughters, he must shed the blood and this is one of the conditions which we will talk about. So they must let the blood flow, and this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. And this is the correct opinion. Because if this is considered a condition as we will discuss later, for Muslims to be met, meaning whatever causes the blood to flow, then by all means it must be required. From the person, from the people of the book, whom is slaughtered. Should we, on the other hand, is it a must upon us to know that the Kitabi, the people, the person from the people of the book, did his slaughter in this way or not? The answer, it is not a condition. Second, also, is it a must that we know that he made tasmiya upon slaughtering, say Bismillah upon slaughtering? The answer is no. And the evidence for this is what is related by Al-Bukhari from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that some people who were new to Islam, so they asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or some people asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, there are people who are hadithu ahdin bi kufr, just recent in kufr, meaning new in Islam. They bring us the meat. We don't know whether they mentioned the name of Allah on it or not. We don't know whether they mentioned the name of Allah on it or not. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Sammu antum wa kulu, say Bismillah and eat. Meaning say Bismillah on the food now, on the food that you want to eat. Not Bismillah on the slaughter, because that's not possible. And the person is not to be asked except upon his action. And your action here is to eat and make tasmiyah upon eating. So in this hadith, therefore, there is evidence that if the action is done from its people, then it is not binding upon us to ask, did they do it in the correct way or not? And based upon this principle, the person is not asked to be excessive in his deen and try to search on things where it is not binding upon him to search for. However, if it becomes certain to him the invalidity of the way, then it is binding upon him to keep away from it. But if he is doubtful, is it slaughtered in the correct way or not, then we have two foundations here. First foundation is that in origin it is safe. In origin there is the issue of safety, in origin, in principle. The second foundation is al-wara', al-wara', meaning if the person fears concerning its condition and leaves it, then there is no harm upon him. And there is no harm upon him. So therefore, if we know that in origin that it was safe, or if we know in origin that it was not safe, or correct, rather, then the ruling is obvious. The third is that if we doubt whether they were done on the slaughtering was done on the correct way or not, then it is not binding upon us to ask whether the person made the tasmiyah, the kitabi, the person from the people of the book, did the tasmiyah or not. In fact, what is apparent from the hadith indicates that it is better not to ask and not to investigate. That's why when they said to the Prophet ﷺ, لا ندري أذكر اسم الله أم لا, did he mention the name of Allah or not? He did not say, ask them. He did not say, ask them. Ask them whether they made tasmiyah or not. Rather, he said, سموا أنتم وكلوا. Mention the name of Allah upon your food and eat. Again, this tasmiyah is not for the slaughtering, because the slaughtering took place already. But it is the tasmiyah for eating, because it is legalized to the person who eats to mention the name of Allah upon eating. Rather, it is obligatory according to the correct opinion. Otherwise, if the person does not make tasmiyah on his food, then the shaitan will share him the food and the drink. So it is to be asserted finally that if it becomes clear that this meat comes from animals slaughtered in a way which is invalid, and we are certain that this is the case, then we don't eat it. We don't eat it. So, again, concerning the slaughtering of the people of the book, we don't ask as to how they did it or whether they made tasmiyah or no. And the Prophet ﷺ ate from the slaughtered meat of the Jews and did not ask them how did they slaughter it. And if we make binding upon Muslims to ask about the action of a doer, whether he met conditions, the conditions related to his actions, and whether he kept away from the impediments, then this will put a lot of hardship upon the Muslims and will be in opposition to the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. So therefore, the Muslim and the Kitabi, if they slaughter the animal, then it is halal, even though we may not know whether they mentioned the name of Allah or not. Now, in case we are certain that the people of the book, or the person from them who slaughters, if he mentions other than the name of Allah, then it is not permissible to eat from. So this is the condition B from the first conditions. And the condition C is that the person who slaughters should be at age of discrimination, not a child. Reaching the age of puberty is not a condition. Reaching the age of puberty is not a condition. We have finished now two conditions. The first condition is, or rather we finished one condition, in addition to the issue of tasmiyah, of naming the name of Allah on the slaughtered animal. The tasmiyah, we need to elaborate more on it. Some of the ulama mentioned that the tasmiyah is a sunnah, and the other opinion is that the tasmiyah is a condition. However, it's lifted due to forgetfulness, such that if the person forgets the tasmiyah, then his dhabiha, his slaughtered animal, is halal. This is the second opinion. And the third opinion, it is a condition which is not lifted due to forgetfulness. And this is in light of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ولا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه. In سورة الأنعام 6:21. ولا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه. And eat not of that meat of which Allah's name has not been pronounced at the time of slaughtering the animal. And also because of the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where he said, ما أنهر الدم وذكر اسم الله عليه فكل. Whatever causes blood to flow, and eat the animal of the name of Allah has been mentioned, if the name of Allah has been mentioned on slaughtering them. And there is no exception in this for the one who is ignorant or who was forgetful. Just like if the person forgets to let the blood flow, then his dhabiha is not permissible. And so with the tasmiyah. And there is no difference between the condition of shedding the blood, letting it flow, and the condition of tasmiyah. In the same hadith, both of them came. And this is the condition, that the opinion that it is a condition, is the choice of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And it is the correct opinion. And it applies on the slaughtered animal and the as-sayd, the killing of the game. And that it's not lifted due to forgetfulness and ignorance. This is the opinion which is supported by the two dalils mentioned earlier. So the third condition now, this brings the third condition, is that it must be slaughtered with that which causes the blood to flow. And this is the sharp tool. So if he suffocates the animal, then it's not permissible. But the tool must be able to cause the blood to flow. Excluded from this are two things. Excluded from things, two tools, whereby the slaughtering is not permissible. These were mentioned in the hadith itself, where the Prophet ﷺ said, use whatever causes blood to flow and eat the animals if the name of Allah has been mentioned on slaughtering them. أَمَّا السِّنُّ فَعَظْمُ. As to the teeth, then it's not permissible because the teeth are bones. The teeth are bones. So they cannot be proper. وَأَمَّا الظِّفْرُ فَمُدِيُّ الْحَبَشَةِ. And the fingernails are the tools used by the Ethiopians, whom we should not imitate because of them being kafirs. This hadith is an agreed upon hadith. So two things are here excluded. The bones, because it is either filthy, and the filthy cannot be used for slaughtering, or the bones are pure, and the slaughtering with them renders them filthy by the blood, and this gushing blood is najis, filthy, and therefore leads to make the bones filthy, and this will harm the jinn. Because when the jinn came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he told them as to their food, كل عظم ذكر اسم الله عليه تجدونه أوفر ما يكون لحما. Every bone upon which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been mentioned, you will find it most abundant with meat, covered with meat. As to the fingernails as tools, because of the usage by the Ethiopians, this does not indicate that all of the tools of the Ethiopians are such that they cannot be used for slaughtering, but rather because the Ethiopians used to let them grow, and they would use them as kind of knives. So the Prophet ﷺ forbade that. And also because letting them grow in these ways is in opposition to the fitrah and resembles the animals. So now we know that a tool must be used, the correct tool. And also the next condition is that the tool should cause the blood to flow. There should be flowing of blood upon slaughtering, because if that remains in the animal, it becomes filthy, because this blood, the shed blood, is filthy. And the cause causing this to come out and gushing is by cutting the jugular veins. By cutting the jugular veins. And it's not a condition to cut the throat and the esophagus. It is not a condition to cut the throat and the esophagus, because this did not come in the Book of Allah nor in the Sunnah. The fifth condition is that it should be intended solely for Allah and not to other than Allah. It must be solely intended for Allah, not as a means of nearness to other than Allah. Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 3, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ وَالنَّطِيحَةُ وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبْعُ إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ. So the intention should not be to other than Allah. The intention must not be to other than Allah. Forbidden to you are the al-mayta, the flesh of swine, and the meat of that which has been slaughtered as a sacrifice for others than Allah. For others than Allah. This is the thing, that this must not be the case. This is forbidden. It's forbidden, therefore, from two angles. That this slaughter is intended for other than Allah. And since the person did it for that purpose, then he becomes a mushrik. Then he becomes a mushrik. And the mushrik, his animal sacrifice is not permissible. So now let us summarize, therefore, the conditions as follows. Number one, first condition, أن يكون المذكي من أهل الزكاة. That the person slaughtering must be from those who are legally acceptable to slaughter. Under this falls three subconditions: that he must be sane, that he must be a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian with the details we discussed earlier, and that he must be at an age of discrimination. The second condition, that he intends the slaughter. If he doesn't intend it as a slaughter, like for example, if a person throws a knife at an animal and it cuts its throat and kills it, and he didn't intend to kill it, so this animal is not halal. Is not halal. The third condition, that it must be slaughtered with a tool that causes the blood to flow. And the fourth condition is that the blood must flow. And the fifth condition is the tasmiyah. The fifth condition is the tasmiyah. This brings the conclusion to the conditions pertaining to the zakat, to the slaughtering. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.